Good morning. We're going to get back into our series on Galatians. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. And as I start all of these messages with, strange laws that are still on the books. This time I went around the world, not just in the United States. So in Western Australia, you cannot own more than 110 pounds of potatoes at one time. The Potato Marketing Corporation has the right to stop and search your car for rogue spuds. In Tasmania, it's illegal to offer a reward for a lost or stolen item if you include the line, no questions asked. You can choose to not ask questions and you can choose to offer a reward, but you can't offer a reward and refuse to ask questions. And in Switzerland, you're not allowed to flush the toilet after 10 p.m. as it's considered noise pollution. We're going to jump back into chapter 3 of the book of Galatians. And the first part of chapter 3 set out the experiential reasons why the Galatians should not go back to following the law as the Judaizers are trying to get them to do. The Judaizers are that group of people that have come in to where Paul has preached the message of the gospel to the Galatians, and have told the Galatian people that they must go back to living like Jews. They must go back to living under the law. They're adding to the gospel message that Paul has proclaimed. Paul has said, this is how you become a Christian. This is how you follow Christ. You have faith. They're saying that in addition to faith, you must also do all of these different things. And that's what I've called gospel plus. And so Paul in chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4 is continuing to say, this is wrong. What you need to have is faith in Christ, not following the law. So Paul's argument from experience came back and said that you know the way that you received the Holy Spirit. It was not through following the law. It was through receiving it through faith in Christ. You know this, Galatians. Why are you wanting to go backwards and follow the law again when the law did not give you the Holy Spirit? And people have been following the law for centuries. The law never brought about the Holy Spirit. The law only brought about condemnation to show people that they couldn't measure up to the perfect standard of the law. And so now he's going to continue to argue against this gospel plus, and he starts with Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 6. It will be in the New Living Translation if you're using an app. We're going to take a bird's eye view of this section of text because it gets really detailed and really specific. And so I think that if we get down into those details, we're going to miss the general picture that we're trying to get into this passage. So we're going to take a little bit more nuanced approach and not so detailed in this group of texts. So we're going to look at Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Now don't close your Bibles there because we're going to be back into this in just a second. But we want to talk about this. At the beginning, he says, remember that God accepted Abraham based solely on his faith. And because of his faith, he was counted as righteous. He was fully accepted by God because of his faith. He wasn't following the law because the law wasn't written yet. The law didn't come for 400 more years with Moses. But Abraham was still shown to be righteous before God. So how could Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, the quintessential Jew, if you will, for these people, how could he have been justified before God? How could he be righteous before God without the law? But only by faith. Paul says, the reason was because of faith. And the law had nothing to do with that justification, with that righteousness. And so now you're trying to say that the law is necessary, but it wasn't necessary for Abraham So why are you saying that it's necessary now? Abraham was blessed not because he followed the law, but because he followed what God said and had faith in that. And Paul reminds the Galatians of this. And he says, even Abraham could envision a time when all people will be blessed through faith, not just the Israelites. The Judaizers are saying, in order to be good Christians, you have to live like a Jew. But really, Abraham didn't live like a Jew in the way that they're living like a Jew now. And so he says, look back at Abraham and see that Abraham was justified through faith without the law, and you'll see that now we can be justified as well through faith without the law. Verse 10. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. So Paul says, on the other hand, you have faith, and on the other hand, you have the law. And the law cannot save you. Following the law cannot save you. The law brings a curse on those who cannot follow it. You can't be blessed by the law. You can only be cursed by the law. So the law is there to show us that we fall short, that we can't get to God on our own, that there must be a better way. And Paul says that better way is faith in Jesus. And in faith in Jesus, we find new life. We aren't finding law, faith, and life in the law. We're finding life in faith. Verse 13. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So salvation does not come from the law. Its requirements have been met by Jesus and his work on the cross. He was the final sacrifice, the complete sacrifice, that was offered to fulfill the law. In dying on the cross, Jesus fulfilled the law and now has given the blessing of Abraham to all of those who believe, not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Anyone who believes in Jesus now can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, can find life in the Spirit. That wasn't possible under the law. In the beginning of chapter 3, he reminded them of this. The law never brought you the Holy Spirit. Only your faith and trust in Jesus did that. The promise of Abraham, the promised blessing of Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him, has now come through the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. The promise of Abraham to his descendants is fulfilled through the child who is Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Dear brothers and sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. Notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children, as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child. And that, of course, means Christ. This is what I am trying to say. The agreement made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. The promise of God was given to Abraham and his child, and that child is Abraham's descendant, who is Jesus. The blessing promised to Abraham could not be undone by the giving of the law of Moses 400 years later. And the law did not undo the covenant, the promised blessing that was given to Abraham because he had faith. The law was in between time. It was in between the time of faith and the time of faith in Jesus. The law showed people that there was a need for a Savior, that there was a need for the Messiah, a need for the descendant of Abraham, who is the child, who is Jesus, to save people from the oppression and the curse of the law. That child, the person who saved us from the law, is Jesus. Through Jesus, we have the blessings that were promised to Abraham, something that the law could not give us. Verse 19 says, "Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is helpful if more than one party must reach an agreement, but God, who is one, did not use a mediator when he gave his promise to Abraham. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ." So again, he says, the law was there to show people their sins. It was there to show them the need for a sacrifice. And it was given to Moses through mediators, through angels. But the promise to Abraham was given directly by God. And now through faith, directly through Jesus, we can have the blessings of Abraham. The child has come, the descendant of Abraham has come in Jesus. And through Jesus, we get the blessings of Abraham when we put our faith and trust in God. Paul says there's no conflict between God's law and his promises. The law showed the necessity of the child to come. The law showed the necessity of having Jesus die as a sacrifice for us. But if the law could give us life, then it would have done so already. It had been in place for so long. Why hadn't life come? Why hadn't the blessings of Abraham come? Because the law can't do that. But the Galatian people are being tempted and told by these Judaizers that they must follow the law. That instead of just having your faith and trust in Jesus, you must do X, Y, and Z. We face people even today that say that. That in order to be following Christ, you must do X, Y, and Z. In order to be a Christian, you must do X, Y, and Z. We see it all the time. You've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this, or you're not really a Christian. Paul is saying, that's baloney. That's my paraphrase. To be a follower of Christ, to be a Christian, you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Period. Full stop. All the other stuff is important, yes. And we need to be living the way that God has called us to live. But when it comes down to it, the gospel is putting our faith and trust in Jesus. That's the gospel. When you add all that other stuff, you're into the gospel plus area. The law shows us that we've all fallen short of the standard of perfection. But Jesus came and sacrificed as the perfect sacrifice for us so that we might have the blessings of the faith. Verse 23. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. So again, the law was set up for us so that the child could come. It was set up to show us our faults, to show us our need for the Savior. Following the law as the way people did during that time showed their dedication and their resolve for God, but it could never give them life, and no one could ever follow the law perfectly. That's why it demanded sacrifices for transgressions. But Jesus came as the ultimate sacrifice to pay the price for all of our transgressions once and for all. So we have freedom in that. We don't have to live under the law. We don't have to make sacrifices now because Jesus has paid the ultimate price with his death on the cross. When we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, the blessings of Abraham come on to us. The blessings of God come on to us. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is what gives us life, not following rules. We have freedom in our faith in Jesus. Verse 26. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they had actually owned everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God made you his heir. Here is the crux of Paul's argument. We are heirs to God, heirs with Jesus because of what Jesus did on the cross. We are the beneficiaries of the blessing of Abraham because of what Jesus did on the cross. What Jesus did on the cross was to pay the price so that we might become children of God. Paul says that there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no slave, there is no free, there is no male, there is no female. We are all equal because of what God has done through Christ on the cross. God doesn't judge us based on our race. God doesn't judge us based on our socioeconomic status or our gender. He sees us all as his children and loves us equally. That's the beauty of the gospel. Jesus leveled the playing field. We are all on equal footing before God, no matter who we are. That's not how it was under the law. But now, under Christ, we have freedom. We have freedom to be loved by God. And the Judaizers are trying to take these Christians back to the law. They are nationalists. They want everyone to become like Jews and live like Jews. And Paul says, no, we are all equal now before God because of what Jesus has done. They're trying to draw the lines in the sand again to differentiate between us and them. Paul says, why would you want to go back to that? That's not the way it is. That's not the reality of the gospel. The reality of the gospel is we are equal. Male, female, slave, free, Jew, Gentile. Fill in the blank. We are all equal before God. Paul says that the lions have disappeared. Why would you go and try to put them back? No matter who you are, you have equal standing before God. And if there are people in your life that you treat differently because of who they are or what they believe in or what they look like or how they act, you're not living up to the gospel message that Paul is preaching. You're not living up to the gospel message that Jesus is telling us. Because everyone is equal before God. There is no room for prejudice in the family of God. Everyone is equal before God. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. No one is better than anyone else. And that's the blessing of the gospel. And that's what these Judaizers are trying to squander away. They're trying to get the people to go back to living under the law, back to when there's lines in the sand, when there's us versus them. And Paul says, forget about it. There is no us versus them anymore. It is us and us. We are together, children of God. We need to love one another and care for one another and show mercy to one another, regardless of any differences that we may come up with. Under the law, there is division. Under the law, there is separation. But with faith in Christ, there is freedom. There is freedom. May we all choose to live in that freedom with love for one another and demonstrate that freedom to other people that we see and meet along life's journey.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.